Fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. We live in a world that embraces countless cultures and ethnic identities. A vital element in being a global citizen is being able to live and study and work in a diverse environment. Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shereen Seewert. Students from colleges all over the world, including here in central Wisconsin, are being prepared daily for the challenges and opportunities that await them in our global society. But what is the importance of attending a college that facilitates diversity? Joining me today is Dr. Sam Dinga, Director of Diversity and College Access for the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point campuses. Also in the studio is UWSP Director of Recruitment, Mark Young. Both of today's guests are working to recruit and retain a diverse student body at all three UWSP campuses. So Dr. Dinga, Mark Young, welcome to Route 51. I'm so glad to have you here today.
Thank you for having us.
We'll take your calls and questions, too. You can join the conversation by calling 800-780-9742. I guess I really want to start by asking you, what does diversity look like on campus? I mean, we hear diversity, minority, person of color, underrepresented. Are these all the same thing? Or are they different facets of what diversity looks like?
That's an interesting way to start the conversation. There are different schools of thought as far as how to use those words. Diversity on campus, we recognize all the different diversity that exists. You know, that is why under my office, it's not just students of color, but we do have members of the LGBTQ plus community, and that's a huge number of students on campus. So diversity is a broad word. So we cover students of color, LGBTQ plus students, making sure we retain and graduate those students. But the intricacies of using different words to describe what diversity is, I think a lot of people are caught up with that. The important thing is looking at the needs of the students and the challenges that comes with whatever background they're bringing on campus.
Okay. So. I'd like you to explain exactly what you do. What is your role? Dr. Dinga, what is your role at UWSP exactly?
Yes. So my role specifically is focused on the retention and graduation of students of color and LGBTQ plus students. Again, we use a lot of different tools to make sure we take care of the issues that these students might face while attending UWSP. And I think I have a unique opportunity, given that I was not just a student of color, but a foreign student when I attended Stevens Point. I did my undergraduate and my master's degree in Stevens Point. And I tell the students that most of the issues they will face on campus, I personally probably went through those issues. So I understand the challenges that they're going through. There are challenges for first-generation students attending college. I understand that, given that I came from a different system of education and trying to understand the American system. So I can see in their faces that they're lost and looking for direction. I can sense that and be able to have frank conversation with the students to figure out what the solution for the problem is.
And you didn't grow up in the U.S.?
No.
Right. So you came here as a student fresh from?
I came from Cameroon in West Africa, and that was in 2002. And I can tell you it was very cold. But I stayed 18 years later. I'm here partly because of the relationship I built on campus and the community, the warmth of the people. I was fortunate at the time the International Programs Office had a program where foreign students were paired with community members. And I was fortunate to be connected with a fabulous family, the Okre family in Plover. And we are really connected. They helped me be a member of the Stevens Point community, teaching me the jokes and the little differences in languages and how to understand American culture, the food, the holidays, being able to experience Thanksgiving and Christmas and things like that really helped me become part of the community. And that has I really attribute that to the reason why I stayed in the community.
It had to be an enormous challenge, though.
It was. It was, you know, not just the cold, but the food and my accent, people's accent around me, and just trying to understand the jokes, not to have the blank face or nod and smile. So it was challenging. But like I said, connecting with this family and their kids and them introducing me to other people really helped me. And again, Stevens Point, it's not a huge campus, so to speak, and not so tiny. So it's just that fine number that I made friends with faculty and staff who are now my colleagues. Knew a lot of students because you know, small size classes where I was able to connect. You know, especially when you're in the junior senior years of your classes, you're able to really connect with your classmates, and so that helped me connect and be able to survive on campus.
Okay. Mark Young, what about you? Now, you grew up in the Detroit area?
I did.
All right. So tell me about what brought you here and what your experience is and what your role is now.
Sure. So very similar but not the same experience to Sam. I came from Detroit, Michigan. Unfortunately, that does make me a diehard Lions fan.
Oh.
I know. Please don't hold it against
man.
Me. Coming to Stevens Point, I had an opportunity to continue my athletic career. And so I was recruited to play football. Initially, early on, it didn't work out because of when I learned of Stevens Point. You know, it was halfway through camp, and I didn't have the academics to come to UWSP at that time. So I went to a junior college in Minnesota and then transferred in after my first semester. And transferring into UW-Stevens Point to the state of Wisconsin in January, I would not recommend for any one person that is not from the state of Wisconsin. And so through my experiences as a student and working in the admissions office, I soon, at the time of graduation in 2013, I assumed a role as admissions counselor. And within my tenure, now serve as the director of recruitment, where I oversee recruitment initiatives and activities for not just main campus, but all three of our campuses under the UWSP umbrella. So I'm fortunate enough to work with a talented team who understands the importance of diversity and inclusion in our work and how we have to make sure that our communication outbound to prospective students and families is inclusive. And we understand the different backgrounds that students and families are coming from and the different cultural sensitivities that we have to be aware of when connecting and trying to introduce UWSP to prospective students.
What made you stay?
What made me stay, very similar to Sam, is the relationships and the folks that I'd met here. I also, at the time, had a very serious relationship.
Sure.
But it was definitely the people that I'd met that had helped me along my journey. My mentor and a good friend of ours, Scott West, I had an opportunity to go to another institution and do a very similar role, and I'd waited all day to talk to him. And I finally connected with him, and I said, hey, I think I'm going to take this job at another institution. He looked me square in the face and said, I love you enough to tell you that you'd be making the wrong decision. Your path here that you've blazed is not done yet. And so just with my experience and seeing how transformative UWSP was for me and understanding, you know, the opportunity that it has for other students that embrace this culture and this community, I turned that position down to go into a job interview at UWSP. And a lot of people looked at me like I was crazy.
Right.
But
that was quite a chance you took, right?
It was. But I was confident in what UWSP had done for me and the experience and the development and growth I'd experienced as a student. It worked out well.
Okay. All right. I have to ask you, I mean, what is it about having a diverse student body that matters so much from an educational standpoint? I mean, why is this so much a part of your mission, and why is this so much a focus at the UWSP campuses? I know that's a pretty loaded question, but
It is. But we were anticipating that question. from my perspective and what I've shared with the team, and I think going through educational experiences, we've all have come to understand how important diversity in the academic space is, because it enriches the classroom experience. If you ask a question in a classroom with 30 like-minded people, you won't get any variation in the answer. And so it jars the thought. It makes people think from a different angle. You can view the same problem through several different lenses and come up with several different solutions. Also just appreciating the differences in people and celebrating those differences. There aren't too many spaces in the world or there aren't too many systems in the world that still embrace that cultural diversity and encourage that cultural diversity. You are seeing more of that in the professional workspace, but I think the university setting is one of those spaces that are pretty unique.
And I think I want to stress the importance of having diverse view in a classroom. There are a lot of students coming from areas of Wisconsin where UWSP will be the most diverse environment they'll ever be exposed to. And having students from different backgrounds, different ethnicities, I think opens this huge opportunity for our students. And so that is why the university puts a lot of time and effort and money to make sure the campus is diverse. I remember when Chancellor Bernie Patterson joined the university several years ago, his very first speech, he talked about increasing the number of students of color on campus. He said, I want to improve diversity. And at the time I was a student, diversity, I think it was about 4 to 5% at the time. Now we're talking about 14-15%. So he actually achieved that. And so it wasn't by accident. It was on purpose, you know, investing money and time, creating offices and making this possible, because he knew from the get-go the importance of improving diversity on campus.
Okay. What do you think that UWSP has to offer incoming diverse students compared to a larger institution? You made mention of it, that it's not this big, huge school, but it's not a tiny, tiny school either. So, I mean, what does it have to offer?
Well, for starters, I think the Office of Diversity that we have on campus, we do have the best staff. I call them the SEAL team. We are ready to transform these students. You know, they come in not sure what is happening on campus. Right off the bat, we work with admissions office to say, thank you, admissions, for recruiting these students. Now we take over from here. It's a major event that we put together and have these students free food, T-shirts, and introduce ourselves, let them know we're here for them. We as a team, we have spent time to figure out the top three things that will make a student want to quit school, you know, finances, not fitting in socially, and struggling with classes. Now we zero in on those three topics. What are real solutions to those problems? We're cataloging everything that we find, every situation that we handle, to make sure that we have a good log of what is happening with our students. And so we don't do lip services. We can guarantee these students that we're here for them to help them go through college. Just the time and money that we're putting to make sure that this happened. My office has three different centers to help the students, you know, fit on campus. We have the Gender and Sexuality Resource Center for our LGBTQ+ community with a full-time coordinator whose job is solely to create and build this community for our LGBTQ+ students. Huge advocate who is very knowledgeable about the issues of our LGBTQ+ students. We're seeing a lot of activities and happenings within the LGBTQ+ community. We have a pride game coming up, soccer game coming up in support of our LGBTQ students. We are at the forefront working on getting a gender-neutral bathroom on campus. I think just about four of our buildings don't have gender-neutral bathrooms. Otherwise, the rest of the buildings, we have dedicated bathrooms for our students. Still working to make sure that campus-wide we can have bathroom issues taken care of for our students. We have the Native American Center also for our Native American students, and we are making huge preparations for our to celebrate Indigenous People Day coming up October 14th. So we're putting a lot of time and money to make sure that students come on to UWSB, feel at home. That is the retention piece, and make sure they're graduating. Working with, we are connected with almost every office on campus, the Tutoring Learning Center, Academic and Career Office, and making sure the students are using all the tools that are available on campus to make sure as they're being retained and graduating, they're also ready for life after UW Students Point.
Okay, we do need to take a break. UWSP's Dr. Sam Dinga and Mark Young are guests today on Route 51 as we continue our discussion on efforts to recruit and retain a diverse student body at all three UWSP campuses. You can join the conversation, too, at 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. UWSP's Dr. Sam Dinga and Mark Young are our guests today on Route 51 as we discuss efforts to recruit and retain a diverse student body at all three UWSP campuses. We'd love to hear from you, too. The number to call, 800-780-9742. I have to tell you, I was taking a look yesterday at the annual report of bias and hate incidents for the 2018 calendar year. 18 reports, 12 of those happened on campus, 14 targeted race or ethnicity. That is a sharp rise from the previous year. Two targeted sexual orientation. Obviously, this is not unique to UWSP. Less than a week ago, in fact, I know that there was an incident at the University of Wisconsin-Eau Claire. There have been other things at Stout. When my son was a student at Stout, something happened there, Whitewater, Madison. So how do you react to these incidents? How do you ensure that the diverse student body at UWSP feels okay and safe after things like this happen?
Sure. Matter of fact, I chair the hate and bias response team on campus, and our role is to, once we get a complaint, we huddle and look at the complaint to make sure it was hate and bias in what has happened, while the dean of students office would take it a step further and do investigations and make sure if there's criminal, you know, act or somebody needs to get punished, so they'll do that piece. Our role as hate and bias response team is to reach out to whoever the person was, a student or faculty or staff, and try to find out what kind of support system they will need. And we have training, you know, hate bias training, diversity training, safe zone training. So we could recommend or mandate that they go through that training. We reach out to the student as a support group to find resources to help them in those cases. And the stats you're talking, matter of fact, you're right, it's not unique to Stevens Point. And comparatively to other schools, I think our numbers are low. And we're now looking at ways to help not just campus but community members. You know, I was meeting with the county executive and talking to them, trying to find ways that we could expand our diversity training, our safe zone trainings to community members, so we have that in pipeline so that when the students are on campus, they feel safe because we've worked so hard to create a safe environment. We want to make sure that when they leave campus, they're also feeling safe. Community members are ready to welcome them, you know. And so we have these initiatives going on. Within the our hate bias response team, we are currently working on having some sort of live report on the website informing students immediately when something happens, so they are informed, and then create a complete loop of making sure we inform the student what the action was taken, if there was trainings that people had to do, say, a faculty or staff member misgendering a student, we want to make sure that faculty or staff knows what happened, if there's a training that they need to do, saves on trainings, so the students are aware that something is happening, not just making a report and it disappears in a black hole. There are people working behind the scenes to make sure that this report is taken seriously, that the students are taken care of, that resources are available for these students to make sure it doesn't happen also. So that's the role that our hate and bias response team is doing.
And one of the things that I'd like to elaborate on is our students have been encouraged to use a reporting tool, and part of the uptick in the number of incidents are because our students are feeling empowered to use that reporting tool. That way, our administration, our campus leadership, can proactively and quickly respond and understand the situation and bring swift justice. So I am, you know, excited to know that students are aware of their avenues and pathways to seek out support. But I've just been really encouraged by the way our campus has quickly responded to the students and making sure that our freshman class, they all go through diversity training at the beginning of the year. And just seeing that take place with bringing in the class that we do, you know, it's important for us to understand and appreciate the folks that you're sharing the classroom space with.
And if I might add to the diversity training doesn't end with the first year student. We also make sure that a lot of different pockets that we do the training, faculty and staff, and also every student organization leadership has to go through the diversity training just to make sure that when they're operating within the context of their student organization, they're being respectful and mindful of the differences, the diverse background that students are coming from. So we're doing, as a university, I think we're making sure we have the trainings available, creating awareness, and not shy away from those reports. So we embrace the reports and make sure we inform the students what the reports are. There was a climate survey just to test what students are feeling, and we're looking at that survey closely to figure out areas where students are either not informed or not understanding. So we create opportunities to better inform the students based on the survey that was done a year ago.
Have either one of you ever experienced any of those incidents yourself personally, or just this is just, you know, stuff that's been reported to you? I just wanted to ask what your own personal experiences were.
Yeah, I think I have experienced a few, mostly off campus, mm-hmm. and personally, I try to use that as a teachable moment and spend the time to educate whoever is acting or saying something that I felt is not inclusive or discriminatory. And there wouldn't be things that would have made me want to leave Stevens Point, mm-hmm. or leave the campus, but things that make me want to make sure that it doesn't happen again to somebody else.
To other people.
Right, right. So. Mm-hmm.
And I experienced a few things. Mine were off campus as well. But again, using that as a teachable moment to educate the individuals as to why that's not okay, and how we can continue to grow and develop. But also making sure that as we bring in students, connecting them with the campus resources and support so that they know if something does occur like this, how best to be supported.
Okay. Looking at the 2015 campus climate survey, some respondents cited a lack of representation within faculty and staff as one of the hurdles that they identified. So what kinds of gains are you making, like hiring a more diverse faculty, for example?
And that is one of the areas that I have also been pointing out to campus leadership, recognizing that we did a great job recruiting, improving the diversity number from 4% to about 14 to 15, and have not matched that with faculty and staff. But I know there is a program within the provost's office trying to help students who are completing their research programs to see if we could bring them to campus, give them opportunities to start teaching while they finalize their research, with the goal of recruiting them, having them stay on campus. I know this is a program that is in the early stages and in the pipeline. And on personal note, I have been trying to play my part to encourage and bring faculty and staff of color together, starting with particularly faculty and staff of color from Africa in particular. And we are using that network to share with others what Stevens Point is, where Stevens Point is, what it's like to be in Stevens Point, and hopefully we can play a part in encouraging others to be a part of this great community that I have experienced in the past 18 years.
Yeah, and the same for me. I'm trying to do my part. And just until recent, probably the last 6 months, the admissions and recruitment office was one of the more diverse staff groups on campus. And, you know, that was something that we were proud of because we were so multiculturally diverse and we brought different perspectives to recruitment. And so we do that in our daily work, but also we're shaking our networks and shaking our trees to make sure that the growth in our freshman class and on our campus matches what we see from the faculty and staff side.
Okay, well, so how does that representation help students feel more included? Can you explain that to listeners? Like, how does having, you know, that diverse faculty and staff, how does it help them? How does it make them feel more part of the community? What does it do?
Well, I think if I look at my time in Stevens Point from when I did my undergraduate throughout doing my master's degree in Stevens Point, I had just one faculty of color. And I felt so attached to that faculty just because it seemed like finally, you know. But and there are times where you feel you feel like you can relate, you know, and they can understand where you're coming from right off the bat. And so we, now that I'm in this position, I recognize what I felt, and that's why I continue to push administration and say, it helps us to create, to match the faculty to kind of mirror our student population. If we have diverse students, we should have diverse faculty and staff members. And again, also, there are concepts that are being taught in class that sometimes it's not the message itself, but who's saying it. And so it helps to have diverse faculty and staff members addressing some of those issues. There are things when I do mentor students that I can lean back and talk authoritatively, knowing my background, my race and ethnicity, and I know I can relate. They understand I can relate to what they might be going through, and so that I believe will students see that they when they see a faculty and staff member of color, they think I can do this too. I can graduate. I can become a doctor. I can, you know, it helps for them to see successful faculty and staff of color.
And there is so much power in representation and being able to see yourself in whatever environment that you're working or living in, and seeing people that are not perpetuating stereotypes that social media or media in general may paint of an ethnic group. So there's so much power in representation and being able to connect and feel like you're supported from someone who may understand not the exact situation, but potentially similar situations that you're experiencing as a student of color or diverse student in a predominantly white environment.
What percentage, and if you don't have the exact numbers, that I'm not trying to put you on the spot here, but what percentage of students at UWSB campuses are students of color or LGBT? And do you know how that compares to, say, the overall population here? Or is that not something that you have access to quickly? I should have asked you beforehand.
So I can speak directly to our overall campus. We're at about 13%, and that does include international students.
Okay.
Right. And when it comes to LGBTQ, it might be challenging to give you an exact number, given that students have to self-identify.
Mm-hmm.
And so that makes it hard to pinpoint a number. But, yeah, we're about 13% for students of color, diversity.
Okay. Is there something you think that UWSP could be doing better at this point? What could you do better to make this more diverse, to make it more inclusive?
Let me add one more thing that I think that sure. Stevens Point has done better before I answer your question. Mm-hmm. I think our community connections, we have people in the community, powerhouses in the community who are involved in our diversity initiative. The Noel family, for example, they've hosted since, I don't know, forever. They've hosted welcome picnic for students of color. They started and completely fund the Noel Campus Scholar Program, which is a full ride scholarship for students of color from inner city. You know, as a matter of fact, we recruited from all over Wisconsin and bring the students to campus, provided paid internship and paid for the room, board, and tuition for 4 or 5 years. And so we have people like that in the community who are very involved making sure that students of color, no matter where they're coming from, can find Stevens Point a home that I have realized in the past 18 years. What campus can do better, I think it goes back to the question of continue to try to diversify faculty and staff population to help the student. I think that is still the drum that I'm beating to make sure we get to that point where we can increase the number of faculty and staff members of color on campus.
I wouldn't add anything in terms of better because I think a lot of the initiatives that, you know, we've identified as opportunities to do better, we've started to do those things. And so just continue to press and continue to put the energy and effort into, you know, achieving those goals in terms of diversifying our campus and faculty and staff.
Okay. I'm curious how things have changed on campus since you both were students. It's been a while since you were a student on campus. So, Dr. Dingo, what about you?
For Sam, it's been a while.
Well, then maybe we should start with you, Mark.
Okay, I kind of walked right into
yes,
that
one. Yes,
you
did. Yes.
All right. That's my youthful arrogance, I would say. So I was a student in 2009 and graduated in 2013. And I would say I had a pretty unique perspective and looked at our campus through a diverse lens, especially because just representation, you can spot out students that look like you, and it's easier to do so. And so things have changed. We do see more students of diverse backgrounds walking around campus. I would even say from an inclusion standpoint with LGBTQ+, there's more of an acceptance and appreciation for the students' lifestyle. And so there's more engaging dialogue that's happening on campus, and not just with those specific students that are within those groups, but students outside of those groups are coming to engage in dialogue. And for me, that's one of the most powerful things and that maybe I didn't have access to when I was a student here.
What about you, Dr. Dinga?
I think when I look at the roster, the faculty and staff, I think it's gotten younger than when I was in college.
We always think everybody looks younger.
Well, yeah, and what I think that is doing is the reliability. So when we hang out with the students, sometimes people take me to be a student also, and maybe that's why I'm trying to grow beard now. But so that is one of the things that I've seen, and then the acceptance with LGBTQ+. When I was a student, it was just a student organization, and today we have a full center with two student organizations, and some of those specific programs that I think campus is paying a lot more attention. Then we've seen recruiting students from D.C., Maryland area, you know, bringing that population too into Stevens Point. Then it's not just international students not knowing where Stevens Point is. We have students we recruit from D.C., Maryland, Virginia, and they come here, seem like they're living abroad, you know. And so that increased the number of people who are kind of, you know, wide eye around campus first day. But looking at how they eventually integrate and graduate, matter of fact, one of my staff members came from D.C. and state, loved the community, and today he's a member of the staff. So when I see pockets of things like that happening, myself, you know, coming, being an international student, and today working on campus at the level that I do, the dreams do come true, so to speak.
All right. You're listening to UWSP's Dr. Sam Dinga and Mark Young, our guests today on Route 51, as we discuss efforts to recruit and retain a diverse student body at all of our three UWSP campuses and what can be done to ensure local colleges and universities are welcoming to all people. You can join the conversation, too, at 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. You're listening to Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. UWSP's Dr. Sam Dinga and Mark Young are our guests today on Route 51 as we discuss the efforts to diversify our three local campuses. We'd like to hear from you, too. The number to call, 800-780-9742. We've talked a lot about Stevens Point's campus, but what about the branch campuses? What's happening there?
Sure.
Oh, that helps.
Can you
to
hear me
turn
now?
Your microphone on. That helps, yes.
That's all right. Yeah. I know my staff would like to mute me at times, so you're lucky with that feature. So at our branch campuses, we are seeing an increased number across the state in the growth of diversity and underrepresented minority students. And so we are seeing a large growth in the Wausau region from Hmong and Southeast Asian, as well as Hispanic. But we're seeing a larger growth of Hispanic students around the Marshfield campuses. And so we're having those conversations about not only how to recruit those students, but how to support the students and what will get them again to graduation.
Right. And we have done a series of things here in the Wausau campus. We started visiting and looking at what they had. There's the MRC, Multicultural Resource Center for the student, and we helped to refurnish the center, brought in new furniture, computers, and equipment that the students might need. And it's one of the vibrant areas of campus. When we visit and hang out with the students and get to know the students, you can see they're enjoying campus life, and that's what a center like that is supposed to do. We just recently started another center in the Marshfield campus, so we're trying to get the students there to start using that center and enjoying campus life. Like I said before, when students don't think they fit in socially, then they start struggling. And so to address that, we make sure we create multicultural resource centers in those branch campuses that students can go hang out, get to know others, and experience campus life. In the main campus, there are about 20 multicultural student organizations, and so we're making sure that we can cross-participate in each other's activities, you know, inviting the branch campus students to come and enjoy the activities in the main campus, and also we're making arrangements so that we can bring students from the main campus to participate in activities that students in the branch campuses are putting up. So we're trying to make sure that it is truly one campus in three, so to speak.
Is it more challenging to achieve this at the branch campuses than it is at, say, Stevens Point?
A couple of things, given that it's a two-year camp, you know, the branch mm-hmm. campuses are two-year campuses, so the turnover of students are a little quicker. And so recruiting, when we, you know, train these students to work with the population, the turnover is fast. And then transportation, you know, bringing the students from one campus to another is also a factor. And then some of the students, student activities and schedules are different in the different campuses. So sometimes collaborating the two to interact as one, it might be challenging, but I think so far we're making good progress and learning as we go. And the students are eager to participate in each other's activities. One of the best things that just happened to us last week, we hired the student who used to run the branch campus here in Wausau. Is now in the main campus and was hired to work in my office. So she is helping to connect the two campuses from that standpoint. She understands the MRC here and working in the MRC in the main campus. So that, to me, that was the highlight of my week last week.
Nice.
And just to echo a little bit of what Sam has already alluded to, logistically, does it provide some challenges? Sure, it does. And I won't start to tell you that it's easy to try and coordinate schedules and transportation. However, I think what our campus does relatively well is we keep at the forefront of every decision that we make student success. And so because that is a component of student success, it then becomes easier for us to schedule and work out the logistics.
So, that lack of belonging, that feeling of not belonging, is that a significant contributing factor of why students drop out? I mean, is that why they sometimes don't succeed? Is that what your research
Yes, that is.
Shows?
There are a lot of studies to show that when students don't feel they belong, they will not want to stay, or they will struggle while they stay. And so most universities have done this. UWSP is also one of those leading to make sure that students belong. So there's a full week to welcome the student, just packed with activities, events, and pockets of events happening at almost all time to make sure the students start interacting with each other. Last week and this week, students are getting to know the different student organizations, involvement fairs, and these are things that are strategically designed so that these students will get to start hooking themselves with the, you know, different organizations on campus that allows them to feel they belong. They identify with one or two, three, five groups. That helps the students be a part of what is happening on campus. And when you take care of that and then direct them to the resources, Tutoring Learning Center, making sure they're getting the academic help that they need, connect them to the different resources like our centers, the different centers that we have. We create connections and relationship with these students, getting to know them on a one-on-one basis. I think that helped the students to connect with campus. I also mentioned about the young staff population. The benefit is these students, they feel they easily can connect with the staff members we have. We have staff members who graduated last year or 2 years ago, and so they still have cohorts on campus who were their classmates, and that really helped because you can see how easily they can connect and relate to each other. So these are things that we're doing purposefully to make sure that we're connecting the students as early as soon as they hit campus, we're connecting them.
And part of that is on the front end, we make sure that when we're recruiting students and admitting students into the institution, we do it with an ethical premise and making sure that these students can excel academically. And so part of our success in growing our retention is make sure that the social component and the financial component align with their ability to be able to succeed academically. And so that's why the handoff to support services are so crucial, and why we've come together with an event, Kicking It with DCA, where admissions was represented, and then other campus support function areas were there. And it was almost like a handoff, like, hey, I'm introducing you to other important folks and resources around campus to make sure that you're successful here.
Okay. I guess I'm curious, what would you say the biggest challenge is for students of color at an institution like Stevens Point? What's the biggest hurdle? What's the biggest thing that's hard for them?
I think the top on the list that I've experienced with the students that I'm working with, you know, is that economic piece. There's finance seem to be at the top of it. And in some cases, it could be, you know, a first-generation student whose parents might not turn in the proper documents, so their FAFSA is processed, you know, their Pell Grants or whatever the case might be. And that starts a trail of hoops that they have to jump to make sure they have that finance lined up. And then students who have to work to pay for school. And so, but we as an office, we're making sure that we get to know that these are the issues that they're facing and call the right people. As a matter of fact, actually walking the students to our financial aid offices to make sure we're taking care of that financial piece. And then the social aspect, you know, as much as we work to get these students hooked, there might be a few of them who will still find campus daunting depending on where they're coming from. But the best thing in Stevens Point is if you don't like all the student organizations, you can create yours. And there are a lot of people who are ready to help you create whatever will suit your need. And we see a lot of students creating new organizations every year.
Yeah, and that's true. I mean, there's a napping club on campus, and I'm trying to be the advisor for that club. Not to say I planted. Yeah, I may have planted a seed to start that club. But yeah, there are a number of different factors that would play into a student not necessarily fitting at UWSB. It might be the financial component. We see that often. Might be the social aspect. And maybe they're homesick. I know for me and my experience, Stevens Point is just a little bit different than Detroit, Michigan. And so initially and early on, I didn't embrace it like I could have. But once I opened my eyes and started to really look for the things that the campus community and the community at large offered, that's when I became, you know, really invested in this community. And I think the community embraced me once I was open to it.
I was taking a look at the American Council on Education statement on the importance of diversity in higher education, and they had some interesting points that seem to go beyond just the individual experience of the student. They talk about that it challenges stereotypes. It strengthens communities and strengthens the workforce, and perhaps even has a wide impact on America's economic competitiveness. What do you think about those factors? I mean, is that something that factors into your thinking as you're trying to make this diverse experience for students?
I think that actually nailed it. When we look at our contributions to campus, not only now, but way back when we were students, the contributions that we did in class, what we brought, me coming from Cameroon in Africa, I think I was able to challenge the class and be challenged and make sure the conversation was rich. And so we bring that into the workforce. And I think the students who come to UW Stevens Point and graduate and go out and do big things, part of it is because of their experiences in Stevens Point. They go out, they feel comfortable with things being different, people coming from different backgrounds. They feel comfortable. They're ready to operate in those environments. I think they're ready. They're getting that education, you know, living in a diverse environment. When they go out, they're ready to operate, and they bring in what they've already learned from Stevens Point and probably in other campuses too, but they're ready to bring that into the workforce. And so I think that study really it nailed it, that it helps the workforce.
Sure. And when we look at the trend lines of the growth of 18-year-olds or soon-to-be high school graduates, it is in underrepresented minority communities. And so that's what the workforce is growing into, being much more diverse, and we have to prepare our students. And I think that just reinforces the intention of diversifying our campus. So the students are constantly preparing for what they will experience in the workplace and being in those at times tough conversations, but rich conversations, and being able to navigate them.
Well, there's certainly a lot of research that backs up the idea that having this exposure to different voices and experiences can yield better learning. Is there kind of a blueprint that you can follow? I mean, to ensure that campuses are making the right decisions and making that inclusive environment?
Within my office, I think we are making sure that we stay with the trend, and we research conferences and seminars that are out there to help faculty and staff like us continue to know what's new. The demographic, the population of the United States is changing. Whether we like it or not, it's getting browner and browner, so to speak. And when that is happening, schools would start seeing people who are not traditionally what they used to be. Communities are changing. People are moving and going. And so when this is happening, schools have to be ready. You can't stay and do the same thing that you've been doing 5-10 years ago. And so within my office, we try to find conferences and seminars that could train our staff so we stay ahead of the game and stay informed of what's happening, what best practices are. And again, we sat down and said, knowing these top three things that might affect students, what are we doing? What can we do and what should we be doing? And we came up with a long list of things that we should be doing and working on that to make sure that we're not giving lip services to the needs of the student. We're actually providing services that we can point to and have the students know when they leave our office that they were taken care of.
All right. Well, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. I'd like to thank our guests, UWSP's Director of Diversity and College Access, Dr. Sam Dinga, and Director of Recruitment, Mark Young, for our discussion today. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. Our producer and on-air producer today is Joy Ratch Kramer. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org/Route 51. Next week, we'll take a look at the shortage of skilled construction and trade workers in our area and what local unions and tech colleges are doing about that. Until then, we're heading out of town.